strong. I swung out of my bunk and padded barefoot to the lavatory. Two crewmen were washing up. When I entered, they hastily rinsed themselves off and left. A pariah. They were treating me as an outcast. Very well, I shrugged to myself. At least I get the exclusive use of the toilets and showers. I always wrapped a towel around my middle when I went back to my bunk from the lav. Most of the others were not so modest. Even the women apparently thought little of nudity, although I must say that none of them stirred my interest at all. It wasn't racism. Some of the most exciting, erotic women I've ever known were Asians. But the women aboard Lucifer were either dour and chunky, or dour and so gaunt you could count their ribs from across the compartment. Not my type at all. At any rate, as I went back to my bunk with my hair still wet from the shower and a towel modestly knotted around my waist, I saw that several crew members were clustered around one of the other bunks. They didn't seem to be doing anything, just standing there with their backs to me. I thought little of it as I slid my sheet-covered screen shut and pulled on a fresh set of coveralls. It was the last clean pair in the drawer beneath my bunk. I'd have to either find more in the supply locker or find out if the ship had a laundry unit aboard. The crowd was still standing in the same spot as a few minutes before, their backs still to me. I recognized Bahadur's tall form and shaved head. I was curious, but they obviously didn't want to have anything to do with me. It seemed to me, though, that they were clustered around Sanja's bunk. At least I thought that's where his bunk was. What was going on, I wondered. But I decided it would cause trouble if I asked or tried to push in among them to see what was going on. I didn't have to. They melted away from the bunk, each of them seemingly going in a different direction. Bahadur walked slowly toward the intercom unit set into the bulkhead by the hatch, shaking his head and muttering in his beard. I could see Sanja's bunk now. The privacy screen was open. He was lying on his back, eyes staring blankly upward. His throat was ripped open, caked with blood. I threw up. Punishment. Fuchs stared down at Sanja's dead body. No one had touched it. Bahadur had called the captain. One of the women had handed me a tissue to clean my face. Another handed me a wet vac to clean the floor of my vomit. Fuchs prodded the corpse, flexed Sanja's wrists and ankles. "He's been dead several hours," he muttered, more to himself than the rest of us. Turning, he spotted me trying to mop up my mess. He gestured brusquely and rattled off some commands in the Asian dialect that the crew spoke. One of the men grabbed the buzzing wet vac out of my hands, his face surly. "Come here, Humphreys," Fuchs called. Reluctantly, I stepped closer to the bunk. My stomach heaved and I tasted burning bile in my throat. "Control yourself," Fuchs snapped. "What happened here?"
I was asleep.
Fuchs seemed more irritated with me than concerned about Sanja's murder. I was convinced it was murder. He looked across the compartment. The other crew members were sitting on their bunks or huddled around the table in the open area at the center. A few were standing near the hatch clustered around Bahadur. Fuchs gestured to Bahadur. He walked slowly with as much dignity as a man can muster when he's sporting a blackened, swollen eye.
"Well?"
Fuchs demanded.
Bahadur answered in English. "He committed suicide."
"Did he?"
Bahadur pointed to the knife resting on the bunk at Sanja's side. Fuchs asked more questions in their Asian language. Bahadur gave answers. From their tone, I gathered that Bahadur was offering no information at all. At last, Fuchs heaved a deep sigh.
"So, Sanja slit his own throat because he was ashamed of betraying your mutiny," he summarized.
"Yes, Captain, that is the truth."
Fuchs eyed him with utter disgust.
"And who's going to commit suicide next? Amar Jagal? Or maybe Humphreys? Yeah."
I nearly threw up again.
"I cannot say, Captain," replied Bahadur. "Perhaps no one."
"Oh?
If we lift ship and leave this evil place, then no one will need to die."
"Maybe you're right," Fuchs said, his ice-blue eyes colder than ever. "Maybe you're right. Come with me."
He started for the hatch, Bahadur following him. "You too," he said, crooking a finger at the man with the wet vac. He'd been one of the mutineers back at the pump station. "And you," he added to the woman who'd been there also. The three mutineers glanced at one another. The rest of the crew hung back from them, as if afraid to be contaminated by their presence.
"And you, Humphreys," Fuchs said. "Come with me."
He paraded the four of us up the passageway, toward the nose of the ship, and then down a ladder to a hatch set into the lower deck.
"Open it up," he commanded Bahadur.
I watched, puzzled, as the man tapped out the standard code on the electronic control box set into the heavy metal hatch. It sighed open a crack, and Bahadur pulled with both hands to swing it open all the way. It must have been heavy. He grunted with the effort.
"There's one of Lucifer's three escape pods," Fuchs said in English, pointing downwards with a blunt finger. "Plenty of room for the three of you and several others. You can ride it up to orbit and make rendezvous with Truax up there."
Bahadur's eyes widened. "But, Captain..."
"No buts," Fuchs snapped. "You want off this ship? There's your ticket back to orbit. Get in."
Eyeing his two companions uneasily, Bahadur protested,
"None of us knows how to navigate, sir." "It's all preset," Fuchs said, iron hard. "I'll handle the launch sequence from the bridge. The pod is programmed to boost above the atmosphere and establish itself in orbit. I'll tell Truax to pick you up. When they go back to Earth, you'll go with them."
The woman said something in swift, rasping tones. Fuchs laughed harshly.
"That's entirely correct. I'll tell Truax that you are mutineers and murderers, and you're to be kept in custody for trial."
The three of them chattered among themselves for a few moments, more frightened than angry.
"It's up to you," Fuchs said. "You can get up to Truax right now, or you can stay and obey my orders."
Bahadur asked meekly, "If we stay and obey orders, there will be no trial later?"
Fuchs looked up into his pleading eyes. "I suppose I could forget your pathetic little attempt at mutiny, and we can log Sanja's death as suicide."
"Captain," I objected. He ignored me and kept his eyes locked on Bahadur.
"Well?" he demanded of the crewman. "What's it going to be?"
Bahadur glanced swiftly at his two companions. I wondered how much English they knew, how well they were following this exchange. Drawing himself up to his full height, Bahadur at last decided.
"We will stay, Captain."
"Will you?"
"Yes, Captain."
"And you'll follow all my orders?"
"Yes, sir."
"With no grumbling, no complaints?"
"Yes, Captain."
"All three of you?"
Fuchs waved a finger to include the two others.
"There'll be no more suicides?"
"We are agreed, Captain, sir," said Bahadur.
The other two nodded glumly. Fuchs smiled broadly at them, but there was no humor in it.
"Good. Excellent. I'm glad we're all agreed."
They started to smile back. I wanted to say something, to object to his simply forgetting about Sanja's murder. But before I could form the words, Fuchs's smile evaporated.
"I'm afraid I'm going to have to give you three some very difficult tasks, you know," Fuchs went on. "Each of you will have to take double watches now to make up for Sanja's death."
Their faces fell.
"And all the EVA work we'll have to do in preparation for reaching the ground, that'll be your job too."
The two others looked toward Bahadur. His eyes had gone so wide I could see white all the way around the pupils.
"And of course, once we get down to the surface, I'll need a volunteer to test the excursion craft. You'll be that volunteer, Bahadur."
The man backed away several steps.
"No, Captain, please, I cannot."
Fuchs stalked toward him.
"You said you would follow my orders, didn't you? All my orders? You agreed to that just a minute ago."
"But I am not, that is, I don't know how. You either follow my orders or get off my ship," Fuchs said, his voice as cold and sharp as an ice pick. Or would you rather we had a trial here and now?